It's time for three stories you should know.
That can't be good.
Neither can that. We got Blitzborgs.
That's a clip from NFL Rush Zone, an animated TV show produced by the NFL that aired on Nicktoons from 2011 to 2014. The plot? Football is being attacked by aliens, and only kids can save it.
Tua, block for me. You got it. Super block.
The NFL, marketing, and children. That's where we're going to begin this week's conversation. My guests are Nancy Armour of USA Today via Skype and Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Welcome back to both of you.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for having us.
Mike, I don't know if you have watched all three seasons of NFL Rush Zone, but please take it from here.
I'm a completist. I've binged watched a few of them. So this was, I actually have kids, but I became aware of the NFL Rush Zone when I was reading an article by George Dorman, who is a great reporter, and he wrote this one for the Huffington Post. It's called Hooked for Life: Inside the NFL's Relentless Existential Big Tobacco Style Pursuit of Your Children. Now, the big tobacco part perhaps is a little bit of a finger on the scale. But what Dorman does is he goes inside the exact means of their marketing, and we find that they have these cartoon shows for the kids. We find that they have sort of a mini-me version of fantasy football where they can bet. And the great thing that Dorman does is he sort of unpacks the official story, which is, for instance, the NFL will send out surrogates to talk about concussions and brain health. But what they say off the script are things like, sure, the NFL has a concussion problem in the media. So there's a lot to think about in this piece, even if you don't fully buy the fact that this is a big tobacco style pursuing your children.
Is troublesome because, you know, as parents are getting more and more concerned or raising more questions, it's kind of savvy of the NFL to go straight to the kids, because if the kids are saying, Mom, Dad, I want to play, that can make it even tougher on parents who are on the fence. So for the NFL to do this, it's very savvy. Is it disturbing? I mean, because if you're marketing to kids like this, you're doing it for a specific reason, and it's probably not a reason that's a good one.
There's also something about the way the NFL is marketing to parents. They're saying if you don't let your kid play football, you're shortchanging and derailing his dream. In other words, guilting the parents into trying to allow, you know, get them to allow kids to play football. I really, before I read Hooked for Life, this article to which you've referred, Mike, I thought I'd witnessed the NFL at its cynical worst. And I was wrong. My eyes have been opened.
I just think the reason that it's good reporting is the very quote that you cited, that's by Chris Golick, who's the wife of Mike Golick, and she does NFL sponsor and symposia. And just the way that they changed the question from the legitimate question, I'm worried about concussions, what should I do, to the statement, I never wanted my kids to not chase their dreams because I was afraid of something, that is insidious. And I don't think marketing to the next generation is de facto unethical, but there are right ways and wrong ways to market, and Dorman has put his finger on some wrong ways.
Each of us probably has a favorite recent baseball trade. I want to talk about a trade that didn't happen. This week, Orioles general manager Dan Duquette said the Orioles were not going to go after Jose Bautista because, and I'm quoting, our fans don't like him. My guess is that if Mr. Duquette had acquired Jose Bautista, and if Bautista had then hit 11 home runs in April and helped Baltimore win half a dozen ball games, fans there would suddenly like him very much. But I might be wrong, and I'm wondering, is this the new explanation general managers are going to use when they don't want to break the bank for a player? Will fans be asked to text in their votes, you know, like a poll? Nancy, what do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of more of a convenient excuse for Duquette. Bautista comes with a whole lot of baggage, obviously, as we saw last summer. And rather than coming out and saying that that is the reason that he doesn't want him, that his clubhouse doesn't want him, that his manager doesn't want him, our fans aren't going to want him. Because, you know, the fans, who is that? So it's not like you can go and point fingers at them or ask them, why don't you like him like you could to your second baseman or your manager? Yeah, like I said, I think it's just kind of a convenient excuse.
I remember when the Yankees announced with great fanfare that they were signing Roger Clemens. And if there was ever a mismatch between team and evil doer, hey, we just have to cut to a few years later when Alex Rodriguez, fans want to win. They want a guy with a big bat in their lineup. Bautista had an 861 OPS against the Orioles, which means he was an Oriole killer. You know, if Duquette wanted to be honest, he could say, look, the guy is 36 years old. His last year was one of his worst. It's a bad investment. If he wanted to be dishonest and populist, he might say something like, I'm doing it for the fans. But you know what? I guess our society is giving us plenty of indications that dishonest populism is a fine, fine tack to take.
Yes, it seems to have worked out just fine, in some cases at least. Nancy, I understand that you have been thinking about politics.
A little bit, yes. I kind of started looking at who our alternatives were because no matter which side of the fence you were on, almost nobody liked either of the candidates. So I came up with a candidate. He would certainly hate the job, which therefore probably puts him ahead of anybody in politics as it is. Greg Popovich. And I am not alone because 25 people in the county in which San Antonio is located actually wrote his name in on the ballot for presidential election. Now, they also wrote in Tim Duncan, Jesus, and Mickey Mouse. But I personally think that Popovich would have been a fantastic choice out of those write-in figures.
Certainly better than Mickey Mouse, I would think, although he gets votes every 4 years. Mike, what do you think of San Antonio head coach Greg Popovich running the country as president?
Well, I think Jesus wasn't American-born. I mean, so I'd have to disqualify Jesus. Popovich, who has this great career in the military, in the Air Force, an intelligence officer, an expert in the Soviet Union, I mean, he brings so many great skills to the table. But the stuff that he said after the election, he and Steve Kerr, were eye-opening and I think really eloquent. Trump campaigned with tons of coaches and Bobby Knight was there. So to hear them in such a clear-eyed way talk about how disappointed they were in the country and our fate, it was a moment of solace to a lot of people. That said, I don't like the idea of celebrities and sports stars being the first people that we turn to. I don't know that in general that is the solution. And the history of sports stars becoming politicians, Bill Bradley came close to the presidency, but mostly it's littered with backbenchers and also rants.
I got to say, I'm 100% behind this idea. It's desperate, it's a long shot, and times call for a desperate long shot, as far as I'm concerned. Nancy, where's the petition that I get to sign?
I will send that over to you. I'm working on it right now.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and Nancy Armour of USA Today. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.